Hello and welcome to the RPH Network. Virginia Collins and Dave Jeffrey with you once again on our new program, Optimal Life. Virginia, welcome.
Hi, how are you again? This week has been pretty hot.
It certainly has. Virginia, lots of good comments about our recent program.
Well, that's good to hear. We're going to have a few articles following up on the items that we looked at last week. We have warnings, and it's interesting because last week we looked at scams, online scams, and we looked at dating. But this week we've got the sweetheart scam. Beware the wolf in sheep's clothing. Now, this is a piece that comes from Aging Care, which is www.agingcare.com, and it's the sweetheart scam. Deception is a ghastly game, yet played by many all the same. Our hearts were blind to their intent. Our trust in others now is spent. The wolf in sheep's clothing never laments. We have all heard different versions of how a well-educated, respectable member of the community was somehow duped into sending large quantities of money to a complete stranger. Sometimes the person in the story has even lost their entire life savings. At first we are shocked and dismayed, but then we pause and think to ourselves, that could never happen to me. The sweetheart scam is one of the most widely utilised modes of preying upon a victim for financial gain. It's a scheme that can be perpetrated online or in person. The scammer convinces their victim that they are in love and uses these emotions to bilk money from an unsuspecting person, oftentimes a lonely senior. This is all brilliantly orchestrated, like a maestro conducting a symphony. People often wonder how someone could be so foolish as to get involved with a stranger and send them money. Although almost all age groups can be lured into this game of deceit, the number one target of sweetheart scams is usually men and women over age 40. The older, the better. Seniors, especially widows, widowers and recent divorcees, are particularly vulnerable to this manipulation of the heart. And it's not gender specific either. Both men and women are equally victimised. John Joyce, former secret agent in charge of the US Secret Service Tampa Field Office, is no stranger to investigating internet scams. Why most internet scams, including the sweetheart scam, it's difficult to identify the perpetrator due to the fact that they are usually conducting their business from outside of the USA, he says. Cooperation from foreign governments is often spotty or non-existent. These investigations usually do not result in the capture of the scammer or the recovery of monies. In most cases, the victim's best option is to break off communication with the scammer as soon as possible and cut their losses. So, how the sweetheart scam works. It's important to understand how the sweetheart scam works so you can defend yourself against it and help others to do the same. Love, or more accurately, the illusion of love, is the key factor in fulfilling the sweetheart scam. We do a lot of work investigating various types of scams from the internet. Unfortunately, it is very common, Joyce explains. Essentially, the victim meets a scammer on a singles or dating website who poses as a person also looking for a relationship online. They chat over the internet and exchange photos. The scammer typically sends photographs of a very good-looking woman or man, comes up with a story about how he/she has a major problem in their life which requires an outlay of money. The victim, feeling the need to help their newfound love, ends up wiring money over and over again to this person. In some cases, until they are bilked out of all their money. Since the scammers are usually corresponding with the victim outside of the US, it is close to impossible for US authorities to identify or prosecute them. Once the scammer has achieved their financial goal, they will drop the unsuspecting victim and disappear. Most victims are astonished when they realise that these deceptive individuals are adept at manipulating human emotions to get what they want. A cautionary tale. Let's take the case of a senior gentleman, whom we shall call Thomas, age 74. Thomas is a wealthy retired family physician in Beverly Hills, California, who recently lost his wife to breast cancer. With the hope of restarting his life after several months of grieving, he joined a dating website to explore the idea of finding a female companion to share dinners, walks on the beach, and other hobbies with. Thomas was a needy soul at the time of in his life, lonely, emotionally vulnerable, and looking for love in all the wrong places. This is when a victim is truly ripe for the picking by wolves in sheep's clothing. One evening, Thomas received a message from an individual who presented herself as a younger woman named Alicia. She was attractive, in her 40s, and a divorcee living in London. She had a college-aged daughter and was struggling to make ends meet. The conversation flowed and blossomed into a friendship. After just a few weeks, their correspondence had escalated from polite small talk to more intimate conversations. Within a month, Thomas and Alicia were professing their love for each other. As far as Thomas was concerned, although he dearly missed his departed wife, he had now met another soulmate and would do just about anything for Alicia as their relationship progressed. Then, one day, Alicia missed an evening of corresponding online with Thomas. This seemed odd to him, and he was distraught over their lost time together. Alicia appeared online the following evening and told Thomas a heartbreaking story. Alicia's daughter had been killed in a car accident, and she would not be able to repay her student loans and cover her funeral costs without having to take out a special loan. Thomas was consumed with grief for his lovely Alicia, and he willingly offered to send her whatever she needed. A cash sum of $45,000 would certainly be enough to cover the expenses, he thought. But Alicia had other ideas. She gratefully accepted the transfer of monies into her British bank account, making sure that she always kept the door open for additional funds to be sent. When Alicia shared that she needed to put a new roof on her home, Thomas sent another $10,000, no questions asked. Then she needed to replace her Mercedes that had been totaled in her daughter's car accident. Of course, Thomas wired $75,000. Nearly a month after the death of Alicia's daughter, Thomas begged her to come visit him in Beverly Hills. He desperately wanted to meet her in person and thought he had waited long enough to be with his lovely Alicia. She accepted his offer, professing her love for him. Thomas wired her the funds to purchase a first-class round-trip ticket, promising that he would meet her at the airport in his private limousine with champagne for two of idyllic fun and frolic. On the evening that Alicia was to arrive, Thomas made sure everything was in place. The stretch limousine had been polished, the champagne was chilled in the back, and he had even reserved the penthouse suite at the Four Seasons. Then, as his sweetheart Alicia was to arrive at the baggage claim, Thomas began to worry. His heart suddenly filled with uncontrollable sadness. There was no sign of any woman who even barely resembled Alicia. Not only was he unable to reach her by phone, email, or text in the moments, hours, and days that followed, he was devastated by the emotional deception and the loss of tens of thousands of dollars. Thomas had been fleeced by the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Virginia, what a story. Love is the answer, but do be careful.
Well, do be careful, and here are 10 tips for spotting and avoiding scams.
Let's hear it.
So,
us old fellas need to know this.
Well, anyone can be scammed by a supposed sweetheart, but according to law enforcement authorities, including local police, the FBI and Secret Service, there are steps one can take to avoid falling victim to a sweetheart scam. One is, be on your guard. Try to look beyond the superficial, whether you are interacting with people online or in person at a senior centre, restaurant, grocery store or the post office, make a point of keeping your wits about you. Unfortunately, deception comes in all shapes and sizes and takes place in a variety of settings. Two, be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror and ask yourself the million-dollar question, why would a much younger individual want anything to do with me? What is this person getting out of a relationship with you? If you discover anything pertaining to money in your answer, you know you're headed for trouble. 3. Never transfer or wire money to anyone. This is especially important if you're communicating with a stranger living overseas whom you've never met in person. 4. Keep in touch with family. Share your new social interests and friendships with them. Your loved ones usually have your best interest in mind and can be trusted to provide honest advice. 5. Consult a professional if an online relationship seems fishy. Law enforcement agents are experienced with sweetheart scams, especially since the usage of social media such as Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter has increased. If you have an inkling that something isn't quite right with a new acquaintance, contact a professional for a second opinion. 6. Do your homework. Nowadays, many people have left permanent digital footprints that even minimally tech-savvy individuals can find. Use Google to search for additional information on new individuals you meet and cross-check the information they've told you about themselves. Even if things appear to match up, don't assume they're telling you the truth. Scammers often go to great lengths to pose as another person or create a believable online presence that backs up their phony story. 7. Limit your use of social media. Scammers steal personal information online and utilize people's social media profiles to learn more about them, their routines, vulnerabilities, likes and dislikes. They then use this information to tailor their manipulative approach to appeal to a person's specific interests and weaknesses. Some scammers even monitor potential victims' news feeds for information on friends and relatives they can pose as. 8. Pursue relationships face-to-face. Avoid online dating, if at all possible. 9. Don't feel ashamed. Although getting defrauded is embarrassing, understand that seasoned scammers have learnt how to be very convincing so they can make a good living from deceiving people. If you or someone you know falls victim to a scam, report it as soon as possible to local law enforcement. And 10, use common sense. This goes for any interaction with strangers, online and in person. If something seems too good to be true, it usually is. And that was from Aging Care, www.agingcare.com.
Virginia, thank you for that. Some very, very good advice here about online dating. Don't be put off too much, but do be careful. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
So, Dave, in our last program, there was a beautiful article with the lovely picture of my favourite actor, Idris Elba, and I talked about how I would love to have dated him. It just turns out that there is another article. This is taken from the Sunday Telegraph on the 27th of January, and it's a longer article on the very same person, Idris Elba, and it's called Dark Knight Returns. As Bond rumours go into overdrive, Idris Elba returns as damaged detective Ruth Luther, writes Annabelle Hennessy and Holly Burns. For those salivating over the prospect of Idris Elba pulling on James Bond's tuxedo and sauntering up to their neighbourhood bar, this year's sexiest man alive wants to be straight up about one thing, his martini order. I like them stirred, not shaken. The cheeky quip in a recent interview played straight into the hands of fans desperate to see the 45-year-old play the world's most famous spy. But ask him about the dark and stormy TV role which cemented his reputation as an international acting force, as damaged detective John Luther, and he admits there was more chance of viewers finding him drowning his sorrows in a London watering hole when he first took on the job, than he believes there is of him playing the cocktail-swilling 007. When he first started filming the gruesome crime series back in 2010, the weight of the work saw him spending most of his time after hours hitting bars. Notoriously gritty, The show is packed with murders and set in the dead of London's winter. Elba admits shooting would leave him needing a stiff drink or two. It's make-believe, let's be honest, but the truth is we go to great lengths to make it very compelling and dark, and therefore that means, you know, us as a film crew, we shoot at night, we spend a lot of time in the cold, and we kill a lot of people, Elba tells Watch. We'd all watch that back and go, Jesus Christ, what are we doing? And we'd go home and we'd dream about it and come back and do it all again the next day. In my first session, he reveals, I used to spend a lot of time in bars straight after work, without a doubt. 8 years down the track, with season 5 of Luther now under the character's famous tweed overcoat, Elba admits he had to find a better outlet than drinking away the toll that the role takes on him. Instead of hanging out in seedy bars, he has channeled his night owl energy into his side hustles as a DJ, music producer, and as of November last year, co-owner of chic and private cocktail bar called Parrot inside the Grand Waldorf Hilton in the West End of London. You just have to have some sort of therapeutic outlet, which tends to be music for me, making music to take me out of that dark. While Elba may run in royal social circles now, he was a guest at Prince Harry and Meghan Markle May's wedding, his dark past before his big break as drug lord Stringer Bell in The Wire included being a club bouncer and pot dealer, selling weed to New York's comedy stars, including a young Dave Chappelle. Growing up on the mean streets of London with a fierce Ghana-born mother ruling the roost, he would use those urban smarts to drive his unlikely fame and fortune. His upbringing wasn't all bad, with Elba celebrating the lighter side of his childhood in an autobiographical new comedy series, In the Long Run. He used his experience as a DJ for his Netflix comedy Turn Up Charlie, streaming next month. But it was Luther fans, relentless in demanding the show must go on, who drove him to return for an intense 4-part season. The action has definitely been amplified. We have 4 storylines running and some big surprises that come in, and at the same time, we want that ticking clock feeling, he says. The story is complex. Last season we found John in a calm place thinking about coming back to the Force or not. This season, he's in the Force, and he is very much in the Force, but things happen that tick him off. He's also got a new sidekick, DS Catherine Halliday, played by rising star Wunmi Mosaku, another black detective which proved an interesting dynamic for Elba. She, more than most characters, challenges Luther, he says. There's a sense of protection, I think because she's a black detective and he wants her to climb. He's been on the career ascent himself since the last season of Luther in 2015, focusing on films and taking on documentary challenges, including the Discovery Challenge series Idris Elba Fighter, which saw him train for a professional kickboxing bout, and No Limits, in which he attempted to break land speed records. There was also time to create his own fashion collection for retailer Superdry, driving up its profits by 53% before he was lured back for another instalment of the BBC First drama. But it's likely to be the show's last on the small screen, with Elba confirming plans for a Luther movie. The landscape of television has changed now, so TV is just as good as film, and we want to bring our audience with us to a film. If his booming career isn't enough reason to celebrate, there's also his recent engagement to model girlfriend Sabrina Dour. After previously vowing he'd never wed again, the twice-married father of two proposed last February, a blow to his largely female fan base, but worth raising a glass. And that was from the Sunday Telegraph, January the 27th, Dark Night Returns.
Thank you very much. And Virginia, they were talking about you there, his large female fan base. Got to be yourself.
It could be me. It is definitely me.
This is Optimal Life. brought to you on the RPH Network, and this program is basically looking at those in the 55 to 75 year bracket. Now, Virginia, we're not categorising people, but we're saying people sort of entering into retirement. And you've got a very important article now.
Well, I think one of the most important things in entering or staying in retirement is, in fact, money. And this article is 21 ways to make extra money in retirement. And it comes from money.usnews.com. Now, it happens to be US, but I think making money there and making money here doesn't make that much difference.
Pretty much the same.
So, 21 ways to make extra money in retirement by Emily Brandon on July the 19th, 2010. Retirees need to budget carefully to stay within their fixed income. If the value of their investment sinks after retirement, seniors often have little choice but to spend less or return to the workforce. But there are plenty of ways to make a little extra cash without having to deal with an alarm clock and a commute. Here are a few creative ways to boost your retirement income. 1. Sell your stuff. Retirees have a lifetime's worth of accumulated clothes, books, and furniture. Make some quick cash by holding a garage sale or selling your stuff on eBay. Take clothes to a consignment shop and a box of books to your nearest used bookstore. Downsizing from 2 cars to 1 can also give your monthly budget a significant one-time boost. Savvy sellers can purchase underpriced used goods and resell them at a higher price. Market your skills. Whether you know how to hem and alter clothing, research family genealogy, or troubleshoot computers, someone in your neighbourhood is likely to pay for your skills. Put an ad in your local newspaper, hang a flyer on a community bulletin board, or offer your services online. Get a higher interest rate. As you age, you'll want to keep a significant amount of your savings outside of the stock market. Shop around for the best interest rate on certificates of deposit, bonds, and savings accounts. Consider an online saving account, which will likely offer a higher interest rate than the brick and mortar variety. Prune your investments. Review your investment portfolio and get rid of funds that consistently poorly perform. Also, identify investments that have high expenses and transfer that money into a comparable investment that has lower management fees and expenses, says Eric Tyson, a financial planner and co-author of Personal Finance for Seniors for Dummies. Get a rewards credit card. You're going to continue to spend on food, clothing, and gas. You might as well get a credit card that pays you 1 to 2% cash back on your everyday purchases. If you look around, you can find a no-fee card that gives you some benefits, says Tyson. But he cautions, a lot of the rewards cards hit you with annual fees and get you some other way. Of course, if you carry a credit card balance, the extra cash will be lost. Consult. Put your lifetime of accumulated experience to work by taking on consulting work. By the time you're in your 50s, you probably know people from a variety of companies based on where you've been, says Mark Miller, publisher of RetirementRevised.com and author of The Hard Times Guide to Retirement Security, Practical Strategies for Money, Work and Living. You can go out and do project-based stuff. It's a way to gain flexibility and set your own schedule and work from a home office. And that was Ways to Make Extra Money in Retirement from US News.
Virginia, thanks for that. Excellent. You've been listening to Optimal Life on Radio 2RPH. We're just coming to the end of the program now, Virginia. Let's have a look at what might be coming up in the next fortnight when we come back.
Well, when we come back, we're going to look at tricks to retiring overseas. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at making money, but I think making money and retiring overseas will be an interesting one.
We will also have a couple of items on health as we enter into our mature years, so to speak, Virginia. I know arthritis is one, and we're going to have some good cures and hopefully exercise, but things that do not exacerbate it.
No, indeed. Well, on the point of exercise, we have a little article, a very short article here from the Daily Telegraph. This is how to get to 90. Now, many of us are not there yet, but...
I find it an interesting subject, however.
Women should not exercise for more than an hour a day in retirement if they want to live to a ripe old age, research suggests. Researchers tracked nearly 8,000 people for 22 years and found women who did 30 to 60 minutes of exercise a day were 21% more likely to survive to the age of 90 than if they did less than half an hour. When they did above 60 minutes a day, the odds of living to 90 plateaued and then fell. But the opposite is true for men. The more active they are, the better. So you don't get off the hook at any point.
And ladies, exercise, but not too much. Virginia, something now on barking dogs.
Yes, barking dogs. We're all barking mad. We have gone barking mad for pet toys, says Michelle Collins, or writes Michelle Collins. You could call it a case of chasing your own tail, but it seems pet owners are increasingly buying expensive gadgets to keep their furry friends entertained while they spend long days at work earning enough to buy these devices. They include iFetch, which will throw the ball for your pooch, camera systems such as the PetCube Play that allow owners to watch and talk to their pets via their smartphones, and even water fountains that aerate your mutt's water with oxygen. A recent survey found almost a third, 29%, of New South Wales pet owners would consider buying or already have a pet fountain. 28% would like or already own an automatic pet feeder, and 28% had set up a social media account for their pet.
Now, did you say that you can talk to your pet via your smartphone?
Yes, that is it. Now, Abigail Koch, household savings expert at comparethemarket.com.au, which carried out the survey, said we are pet mad and willing to fork out for our pet's comfort and enjoyment. She said, we rely on tech for convenience in our own lives, and that's now translating into our pets' lives as well.
I'll believe you. A lot wouldn't. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Just like to say, it's a new program here. If you'd like any more or any less, or let us know what you think about it. Sydney, 02-9518 8811, and the program is Optimal Life. Let us know your thoughts of what you'd like. Virginia Collins, thank you very, very much. You've done most of the all of the reading today, I must say. I've upped it out.
Yes. So,
thanks, you. And I really do appreciate all your hard work.
Well, it's been very enjoyable. Thank you very much, and farewell for this program.
And we'll certainly look forward to hearing from you, mainly from you again, in 2 weeks' time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for being with us. We look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.